You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I'm going to play for you now the interview that Mike did with Joel McHale. He is coming to our fine shores. He is playing a one-off stand-up comedy show at the Bruce Mason Centre in Takapuna the 22nd of September. Should probably go and check out tickets for that, eh? If you are a fan of The Soup or Community, which was also written by one of my favourite people, Dan Harmon. New Rick and Morty soon. But I digress. Here's the man himself talking to the breakfast man himself. BFM.
I've been doing a lot of stand-up, but I have this problem where I strangely want the audiences to hate me.
Hey, Joel, how are you? Thanks for talking to us.
Well, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Cool, cool, cool. Hey, so Joel, will it be your first visit to New Zealand?
My first visit, other than when I did all the Lord of the Rings movies.
Were you down there for those?
Absolutely not.
No, they, I see.
Yeah, Peter Jackson kept passing on all my letters that I kept sending to him.
Hey, Joel, you're coming down here to do essentially a stand-up show. Would that be the best way to describe it? You're just you on stage, bearing your soul?
I'd say it's more of a burlesque show. I get pretty racy.
Titillating.
Oh, my gosh. There's a lot of me topless.
I've watched you for years, Joel, and I think that you've got a great job.
God bless you. I don't have that job anymore, but God bless you.
But you know what I loved about it was the ongoing look of amazement and that you have every single week going, am I still able to do this? Is there still this much grist for the mill for me to take the piss out of?
Yeah, there's never been a shortage of material. It was we always got word, like, I wonder if we'll have enough clips, and we always did, because there is an unending river of crap that we got to choose from.
How did New Zealanders probably know you best from The Soup and, of course, probably in Community after that, well, during that. But
yeah.
How did The Soup start? How did your involvement in that sort of kick off? And what was the vision of that show at the very beginning?
Well, I had, I was a journeyman actor, I would say, at that point. And I had a few credits, and I was doing a ton of commercials back then. The Entertainment Network would bring me in periodically for different things. They would have different shows, and they were looking for comedians or for funny, you know, people that could present. And this just happened to be one of, the one of many. And we didn't think anything of it. When I went in for it, they were like, it might be the new Talk Soup. I'm like, okay. And I did a small audition. I did not hear anything from them again. For about two months. Then I came in again, and I went, all right, well, I did that again. And then they told me, they were like, well, I think we're going to make this. And I said, the show's going to be picked up. They're like, no, we're going to make a five-minute version of the show. I came in. It was down to me and two other guys. I made a five-minute version of the show. It was called a pilot presentation. And then, again, we sat for a while. And then they finally showed it to the executives, and they said, all right, fine. How much does it cost? Wait, it's that cheap? Put it on the air. And
boom, there you are.
We were put on the air with what's called a quote, which I've never heard before. They called it a soft launch, which I've never heard before.
Jeez, they didn't throw you into it too much, did they? It was a nice, gentle, slow plod to get things going.
Yeah. And I guess that was good news, because there was no money in it. They just kind of went, well, just put it on the air and see what happens. It slowly but surely, like a cruise ship leaving the harbor, slowly made its way into people's homes, and people found it and started watching it. Thank Jesus.
And then, once you got up and running, did you sort of, were you surprised that it was able to survive the way it did? Because it just, you sort of, the ridiculing became strong more and more, and it seemed like you were unstoppable.
Oh, well, I was stopped. They stopped me. No, but the president at the time was very cool. And Ted Harbert said, just go for it. And we never The only time they would never try, and they never gave us notes after. Well, they used to give us some crazy notes in the beginning, but that all stopped. And they let us say whatever we want, and they let us say it about their own network.
That's a unique position to be in, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Saturday Night Live obviously gets to make fun of NBC, but Ted said if we can't make fun of ourselves, then the show can't be on. And I agree. And you know, and it just worked out that the Kardashians came on at that very moment. That really helped us. But then when we knew the writing was on the wall and things were not going to happen, so a couple years ago, when there was a couple of reasons why the show went away, but most acutely, the new president of E! Didn't want us making fun of the Kardashians.
Right.
And we knew that was a problem.
Because that's what they're there for, surely.
That is partly what they're there for.
That is what they're there for. That has to be the only reason they're there. Seriously. Hey, don't you think?
Well, they're laughing all the way to the bank. They're billionaires.
They are billionaires, but I mean, you've got your credibility and your integrity, Joel. You know, you can't put a price on that.
That's nice of you to think I do. Yeah, you can't put a price on that. But that said, they laughed all the way to the bank. But yeah, I agree with what you're saying. But we also were a victim of, they used to repeat the soup 12 times a week, and they brought that down to one because we became a union show here in America, and that meant they had to pay the writers for every rerun, and E! Would not do that until they stopped paying people. So that was the end of that.
So I imagine you did a lot of that stuff, sort of quick turnaround writing and probably a lot of it on the fly as well. Do you like doing that more than scripted sort of stuff like Community, which would be a different process, I guess?
Oh, I like them. I fan of both because you get something like Community that is so insanely well written. I mean, that it was like every time we'd get the script, it was like having a Christmas gift given to us. So, I mean, I it's not like I prefer scripted over improvised because both can be awful and both can be amazing.
Well, that's the thing with Community is one of those lucky sitcoms that's written really well and that works. And because there was an era of where there seemed to just be nothing but sitcoms on TV, and now there's very few, and there's very few that are really good, and that's one of the good ones.
Well, thank you.
I mean, pleasure.
Yeah, I mean, we were very lucky. I was lucky to get on that show. You know, it's hard for any show to even get on the air, let alone pass its first season. And so, believe me, I was like, I thank God every day I got to be on that show because it was so well done. We were constantly threatened that they were going to cancel the show. That was no fun. We always assumed we were going to be canceled at the end of every season, and then it went five seasons and finally was canceled because the president at NBC at the time never liked the show, and Dan got fired at one point and they rehired him, so it was pretty bonkers.
Would you ever have aspirations to run your own TV channel?
No, I would be horrible at it. Are you kidding? I would never want to be an executive.
So what are you dreaming of at the moment? Apart from coming down to New Zealand and doing your show down here, what's on your to-do list?
I'd like to go to the Galapagos Islands. That sounds really cool. I just climbed a mountain with my wife that we always wanted to climb. It's a huge mountain outside of Seattle called Mount Rainier.
Oh, I know that mountain. That's a beautiful mountain.
Oh, and it was, if you go on my Instagram, you can see some of the videos and photographs, but that was a lifelong goal that I finally got done. I'd like to get another Porsche Turbo S.
But what can we do for you down here, Joel?
If you provide me with a Porsche Turbo S, that would be lovely.
And what's going to be happening on stage when we see you in September?
Oh, it's like a Bon Jovi show from 1986.
Oh, yes.
A lot of pyrotechnics.
Will that carry on?
Feathered hair. It's going to be the greatest show of your life, and everything else after that will be disappointing.
All right, so at the Bruce Mason Center, 22nd of September, it's a burlesque, titillating Bon Jovi-style show featuring John McHale.
It's either that or me on stage with a microphone. I can't decide which one I'm going to do. It's one or the other. But you will be hopefully well entertained, and I pray to God you will be. And but if not, then please, I just pretend that you liked it. My ego is very fragile.
Before we go, Joel, thank you very much for talking to us. But what do you think what is one thing in the world right now that when you think about it, you laugh every time?
Yeah, if you go on YouTube and type in gasoline garbage fire fail, that thing makes me laugh every time. You will be so happy.
You see, that's you sound like the same Joel McHale that we saw the very first time we saw you on the TV. That same, you've got the same. You've kept your attitude, Joel. Good to know. Good to hear. I can't wait to see you live on stage.
God bless you.
God bless you and the people. United States of America, Joel.
God bless the people of New Zealand.
What an interesting man. Joel McHale there, who is playing Friday the 22nd of September at Bruce Mason Centre. You can get your tickets, I reckon, from ticketmaster.co.nz. It's a very rare thing that you find someone who's worked in television, especially American television, who can talk about the trials and tribulations of shows not working out without either sounding overly professional or bitter. But I think he treads a good line.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.